Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
I'm pretty confident talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now. But home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with the right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Jake Vollenhoek with you guys here on Overtime. Coming up in about 60 minutes, we're going to get to Get a Grip as we usually do at 9 o'clock. But we're going to talk a little bit of Browns here in the 8 o'clock hour, and we're going to talk more on the Brendan Sorsby conversation. And obviously, this entire thing has been fascinating. I would like to tell you that we're going to get farther and farther away from the Sorsby conversation. He'll be less brought up. I was thinking about it in the back after the show last night. Me and Bohm were talking. This idea that Sorsby's going to have a pro day at some point in early July, and every team's going to be at it. We are definitely talking about Brendan Sorsby when the pro day comes around. And we are obviously talking about Brendan Sorsby in late July when the supplemental draft comes around. So he's coming back around at some point. The conversation is going to continue to exist. I hope in less of a capacity than it is right now. Please, NBA draft next week, do something interesting. Maybe Giannis gets moved. Maybe we get a little bit of Cavs action somewhere. Anything will be accepted. But he is still obviously a very big part of the news right now. And so much revolves around this idea of whether the Browns would go out and get him. He is one of the Browns are one of the top teams that would obviously be in consideration for this, would put in a high enough bid to actually go out and get him. They're one of, five teams who are legitimately looking at a quarterback next year, right? There will be more teams that take them. There will be teams that take shots. And I'm sure there will be one or two extra situations that pop up, whether that be Minnesota going out and getting a quarterback, whether that be, just thinking around the league right now, who else actually needs a quarterback that could be moving off the guy they have?
Jets.
Yeah, there's Jets, Cardinals, Dolphins, Browns, Steelers.
Tampa Bay, we talked about.
Tampa Bay is certainly in that conversation. That's seven that we've just rattled off. I don't know that there's really another one who's in high contention to go out and get a new one. That is the difficult part of this. In such a great quarterback year, who's actually, stretching and making that run? The Colts, I guess, could be in that conversation, right?
But they signed Daniel Jones to a short contract.
I imagine they're probably going to go back to him unless he looks god-awful this year. Maybe they blow it up early. The Texans, I guess, could be in the conversation with C.J. Stroud.
Atlanta, maybe?
Atlanta was one of the ones that quickly crossed my mind, especially with two on the short contract, Penix tearing his ACL and getting stronger for the 13th time in a row. Again, there's enough oddities kind of out there that, you could see it happening. But the Browns are going to be one of the teams in the top conversation. Those teams might get into the conversation of, do I throw a fourth-round pick at it? Atlanta, probably not, because if I'm not mistaken, Sorsby throws with his right hand. And they're very against that right now. No right-handed throwers. Dylan Gabriel will be there by the time that the season kicks off. Mark my words, it's going to have to happen. Kevin can't stop himself from building the three lefty quarterback room. I don't know that I have a ton of faith in that. I think there's going to be most of those teams at the top considering it. So the Browns are obviously massively in this conversation. But we know what Todd's comments were. And I want to play back what Mary Kay had to say. We played it in the Station Buzz last segment. But on whether or not Todd actually has an impact into deciding the quarterback battle and how much of a say he really has.
Todd also has plenty of say in who he's going to get to coach at the quarterback position. And if he feels that strongly about it, I really highly doubt that Andrew would sort of just go rogue and put in a bid and drop him into the room and throw that gasoline onto the fire of that quarterback room. So, no, I do not see it happening. And once again, I think Todd probably had some inside intel when he made those comments. I don't think he just was out there saying slippery slope for no reason.
See, this is the part that, again, we talked a little bit about the inside info with Todd Monken, but I just don't know that he has enough input inside the quarterback room. I don't know that he has enough input in front of the roster. Like, yes, we love this idea of GM and coach being in lockstep, being in tandem, knowing exactly what the team wants to do and being on the same page. And I brought up several times about Todd Monken and Andrew Berry in the draft. Definitely seemed like they were on the same page. A better chemistry, a better understanding than I felt like, you know, Andrew and Kevin almost ever had about building this roster. But I also turn around and I know what Todd has said about the quarterback spot and Brennan Sorsby. I also know what Andrew Berry said about the quarterback spot and Brennan Sorsby. Andrew's all about take as many swings as you can, take as many opportunities as you have to until you get it right and until you figure out quarterback, you don't have an answer for the team. So, and he obviously has not spoken all that negative, has talked about second chances right here on this station. And the guys deserve them, and they feel like they can fix players. I'm not obviously quoting him verbatim, but along those same lines of having that exact thought process. I'd like to sit here and think that Todd and Andrew working together, they have a good enough working relationship, the way that they have functioned so far in their short tenure together, that yes, when Todd goes, that's not the quarterback I want, I don't want to deal with those things, Andrew probably looks at it and goes, you know what? We're going to look at him. We might put in a very low bid on him just on the chance that we get him. And it is at undeniable value. Todd, you can appreciate that. You can understand that. But you have my word. This is not a guy that I'm going to blow up the 2027 draft for. I'm not going to go out there and spend a second round, third round pick on him. We're talking about day three at the very earliest. That is the ideal scenario. But we're also talking about a GM who has been here for now, what, 6 years? And we're talking about a head coach who has been here for about 6 months. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I don't even think it's been 6 months yet. But Andrew gets the final say. He's the one who wins the seniority of this. If they wanted to move on from Todd after this year, you can find a handful of people in the national media and probably in the local media on top of it who think Todd might just be a one-and-done coach. And they didn't bring him here for the long term to begin with, and they'll go get their coach next year. So, I mean, if that's the way Andrew is viewing it, I don't think it is. I think that the Browns have the best intention of Todd and truthfully do believe in him as a head coach. But if Andrew could view it that way, if the Browns could view it that way, then you wouldn't have that fear. And even if not, all right, well, it's my team. You're going to coach the guys I put in front of you. You're going to go through there and try to coach up Brennan Sorsby. I still might get you a quarterback in the first round next year. Still might happen. Hell, wherever the Browns are drafting next year, we talk about, oh, well, you know, you need the capital to trade up and go get a quarterback. Browns might be bad enough next year that they just end up with a good spot to get a quarterback. You draft inside the top 10. The way that the draft is looking right now in terms of quarterbacks, you would be in an opportunity to go land one of those guys. But it has Mary Kay, I mean, very strongly convinced at this point that she's not going to have to worry about the Browns putting a bid on it, so much so that she mentioned it today.
I still feel the same way I did the other day when I wrote that it was unlikely that the Browns will place a bid on Brennan Sorsby. I've talked to enough people to believe that that is the case. And we also heard Todd Monken weigh in a very, very strong and definitive way at the golf outing when he said it was a slippery slope. I don't think he was speaking in a vacuum. I don't think he was speaking out of turn. I think the organization probably already had some preliminary discussions about Brennan Sorsby. And then once again, in my follow-up discussions, I really feel strongly that they are not going to do this.
Now, this makes me think of, you know, obviously Mary Kay is very well connected, is going to have these conversations. Who is it that she's talking to? Who in these conversations are we having with to actually come to this determination? Because if Mary Kay's talking to people inside and high ranking inside the Browns, which she absolutely has the power to do, then I would feel pretty comfortable. And Mary Kay's word on this, saying it today, does it make me lean to the side of pretty comfortable that the Browns are not going to chase Brennan Sorsby? It makes me more comfortable. Again, I don't know that Andrew Berry could help himself if that conversation wasn't with Andrew Berry himself. I can't rule out the idea that they're going to go after him. They're going to submit a bid on him, and it could be as high as a third round bid on Brennan Sorsby. But these are the type of conversations that lead me against it. But I don't know that's a Todd Monken decision. I don't know that, maybe Todd is speaking with insider info. Certainly, if he thinks the team's not going to go out of out of their way to go take the kid, then he can speak out of turn. He can go ahead and say, I just don't think that's something you add to this football team right now. If those are conversations similar to the ones Mary Kay is having inside the building, or we're projecting and assuming that she's probably having inside the building. I don't want to put words in her mouth or conversations that didn't happen. But if we're assuming Mary Kay's talking to somebody inside the building and that's what she's getting, I'm imagining Todd has had very similar conversations. So it's really possible that he could go out there and do it. This is just where I start to scratch my head a little bit. Right? And I do start to wonder what the power that Todd has is. Because if we're going to talk about Todd having full control over the quarterback room, well, one, that's not even possible this year because he was stuck with Deshaun Watson. He was stuck with Shedeur Sanders. He was stuck with Dillon Gabriel. The only guy who is Todd's guy in this entire discussion is Talen Green. Maybe. And that's a sixth-round developmental quarterback that I think Todd went, hard to pass up on that guy, right? And it's a guy that we're comparing to Calvin Johnson, for crying out loud. That's a guy that you want in the building. But that's the only guy who Todd, has any say in actually being here. He inherited the room. And are you handing over your entire quarterback room, the entire future on a guy that Todd wants to work with? Or are you doing your own independent evaluation and saying, we're going to get you the best quarterback. You have to trust me on this one. I like to think that coaches usually do.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have a say, but an organization like this that has been starved at the quarterback spot, are you going to allow six-year-old Todd Monken, who, even if we say the 2027 draft, Todd is having a massive say in this quarterback room, Todd would have been here for a year and a couple of months. Right? He'd been here for about 14 months to have that say. And who knows how long Todd is actually going to be here. We've talked about the older aging coach, the lack of them across the National Football League. Are you handing that over to say, hey, Todd's going to be the guy that gets it done, and we're going to put our full faith in him, we're going to trust him to evaluate football, and his word is going to be the closest thing to gospel that we're getting? Or are you going to turn around and make more of a strong claim that we have to evaluate this on our own, and we're going to give Todd a good quarterback, and we'll trust, obviously he'll have an input on it. He'll be able to tell us if he absolutely hates a guy, doesn't think he can work with him, but we're going to go out there and take the best quarterback possible. That to me screams more of the way the Browns have operated in the past. We're going to draft the guy that is absolutely best to us, but not necessarily, line him up for the coach directly of what he wants. Andrew has given Kevin Stefanski his picks. I think that's been evident throughout the drafts, but Andrew has also made decisions on his own. You like to think the beginning of the relationship probably starts out better though. 216-474-0092. Does Todd Monken get enough input to deny Brendan Sorsby heading to the Browns? Or do you think this would ultimately be a Browns decision? Plus, Sorsby's agent definitely talking a little bit and very potentially a little bit too much. We get into that in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Coming up at 8:40. Well, the morning show just wasted no time. And we got to break down a situation that has been running rampant on this station now for... what are we on? About 14 hours plus, about 14 and a half hours. You didn't think I was talking about it today. You're crazy. If you don't know what we're talking about, one, you could go to the Odyssey Rewind feature, which, by the way, if you miss a moment of the show, use the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. But you don't even have to use it for this instance. You're more than welcome to if you'd really like to, but I'd prefer you stay here.
The conversation from this morning is really good. Like, I would highly recommend going back and listening to, I believe, 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Yes. Those are the two segments you need to go back and listen to.
You need to have those. In the meantime, coming up at 8:40, we're going to break it down for you anyway. You're not going to miss a thing, okay? If you want to listen to them after, 11:05 exists, okay? Like, that time period does exist for you. But if you just want the, Spark Notes version, essentially, of it, we're going to get it to you, and you're not going to miss a major detail. We'll have plenty of opinions. But we're talking about Brennan Sorsby, 216-474-0092. Does Todd Monken get enough input to deny putting Sorsby on the roster? But I actually think this situation got really interesting, and we played a little bit of this yesterday, but I think there's more to it than really we're letting on. We're going to start with a point, and his agent, Ron Slavin, was on 105.3 The Fan and was talking about Sorsby's situation. And I thought he actually made a couple of really good points within this and some stuff that I agree with. There's also a moment where he definitely did not do the situation any favors whatsoever and continued to make those even worse. But I want to start with some of the things where I actually thought his agent did a good job in making a stronger argument for Sorsby to be out of the limelight. And he brought up a little bit of the media coverage that it was getting. Again, we played this yesterday, but we'll expand on it today as well.
How many 18-year-olds make really bad decisions? And there is never any integrity of the game violations. Everybody loves to have an opinion, and I'm so tired of watching people get on TV and blab their mouth when they have no idea what they're talking about. And unfortunately, it's not just in Brendan's situation, it's in most situations. And unless you're Brendan or Brendan's family or myself and my team, nobody really knows what happened. And the opinions out there were, you would have thought this kid committed major crimes and did the horrible things. And the reality is as an 18-year-old, he made some bad decisions from his dorm room when he wasn't traveling with the team in Indiana. But besides that, there's just so much more to the story that will come out later that Brendan wasn't doing anything that was hurting the integrity of the game. He never bet on college football once he got on the roster, once he was on the active travel roster at Indiana, and then he never did it at Cincinnati. So this was something he did at 18 that was really dumb, but it also is something that now he's paid the price at 22 years old.
So I obviously, again, we played this yesterday, and I think that he makes a couple of really good points. The idea that Sorsby made a dumb decision at the age of 18 or 19, I don't think there's a real argument against it. I think all of us have made some dumb decisions at 18 or 19, some things that we regret, we would like to have back, probably wouldn't do now that you're older and you're wiser. I certainly have a few in my mind. But, okay, the oopsie that I made at 18 or 19 probably doesn't have the same impact on my life that the oopsie that Brennan Sorsby made at 18 or 19. And I still think my 18 or 19-year-old self would have been smart enough to say, hey, can't go and do that. Right, like I definitely cannot go through and make one illegal bets because you weren't 21. Even if it was legalized at the time, you weren't of age to be making those bets. So you were definitely doing it through some illegal process. And two, you were making those bets on a team that you actively were not on the active roster for, the traveling roster, but you were actively a part of. So yeah, like I don't think I would have been that dumb, but everybody's got their own vice, everybody's got their own problems. I think it's a really good thing to point to. And then the media coverage we pointed to a lot yesterday, I think that everybody's blown it very far out of proportion. And we do act like Sorsby's gambling addiction, gambling habit, whatever, has led to a hurt on the integrity of the game, something Brendan Sorsby has never pointed to. He has never done anything that was supposed to put them in a massively negative situation. And he's not throwing interceptions to the other team on purpose. So to even draw that up as a conclusion is, quite frankly, a gross misrepresentation. Oh, my goodness. Misrepresentation of the situation. I speak for a living. But I think it goes so much more than that. Again, this is mostly positive. I think his agent had done a really nice job to put a positive spin on it. And that audio you just heard, by the way, courtesy of 105.3 The Fan, we go right back to that interview where I think he maybe just made the situation altogether a little bit worse.
The people I feel worse for besides Brendan is Texas Tech. And I know they might have, I think where they messed up was they talked too much. And nobody knew any of this about Brendan. Nobody knew when he was in the portal this was happening. I mean, Brendan probably should have gone in the draft in January, right, if we would have known, but nobody knew. So the people at Tech have been great, very supportive. Joy McGuire, I think, is one of the best human beings on the planet. He's a lot of head coaches are transactional. He is not. And they didn't do anything wrong here. If anybody should be questioned or be catching heat, it should be Cincinnati, because they knew for 2 years and never said anything and didn't do anything about it. So that's the part of the story that gets lost.
So here's where the situation gets worse. Not only did he just put Cincinnati directly in the crosshairs, which I don't think he could care any less about. Brennan was transferring away from there anyway. He was going on to bigger and better things. What does Ron Slavin care about on the idea of him? Oh no. Brennan Sorensen or Cincinnati's, you know, in the negative light. He doesn't care about that. But I think you made a gross miscalculation in the picture you were trying to paint when it comes to this. Because the idea that Cincinnati knew about it, was aware of it, tells me that in some capacity, if they knew it was happening, Brendan clearly knew what he was doing was entirely wrong. And he had brought it up to other people. Other people were aware of it. And still, as a player doing something that you're not supposed to, I don't know that Ron had any information on this. But isn't this the type of move where you say, it happened, this occurred, maybe I get out ahead of it and I go get some help? Right, like, I mean, I don't think that, enrolling in getting gambling addiction help, as far as I know, when you go to get help with any type of addiction, there's a reason most of those things in-house stay anonymous. There's obviously record of it that is there. You're many times, I'm sure, charged for these services, if not covered. But you can absolutely go seek help and actually try to better yourself, get out ahead of it and say, yeah, you know what? It was a problem. It's an issue. I own up to it. I got help for it and get out way ahead. But Brendan Sorensen did not do that. He continued to keep this on the low, continued not to dive deeper and deeper into it, continued to, while he was at Cincinnati, yes, he was not betting on the football team. But if I'm not mistaken, if I have not read the documents wrong on Brendan Sorensen, he was still gambling. Right, like you were still making bets, and the fact that Cincinnati was aware of it, again, it tells me that somebody probably came to you and said, hey, Brendan, you can't be doing that, and Brendan continued to do it. He did not care that he was breaking the rules. Yes, he obviously knew all along, I'm sure he wasn't supposed to be doing it, but there is a difference between, hey, I'm 18 or 19, did some things without a lot of people knowing, and made a couple of dumb mistakes and hid it from everybody. There's a much bigger difference to the entire school knew about it. I'm sure your football coach, AD, whoever was under the mic, and knew about it, probably told you, hey, you should probably stop doing that, right? They're not going to force you to. You're paying a lot of NIL money. You're not going to put that out to the public. You're not going to put any repercussions on him just as an organization. Maybe you should. I mean, get out ahead of it and say we don't support that type of thing. That is the best thing you can do in a perfect world that happens. But we know how this operates. If somebody's breaking a rule, you're not going to go out and be like, our guy broke the rule, and tattletale on your own player. Schools aren't going to do that. It paints you in a bad light. So, but you knew it was happening. You're probably told to stop doing it, and you continued to do it. You continued to not seek help. Again, it makes it look so much worse than it was. And the entire situation that makes it, I mean, so much worse than, yeah, you made some dumb decisions at 18 or 19, was that you continued to make the decisions, right? Not gambling on football, but continuing to gamble against the rules. That is no longer a, hey, the kid was 18, he was stupid. It's no, the kid was 18 and stupid, 19 and stupid, 20 and stupid, 21 and stupid, and continued to be an idiot. Right? There was no maturing process that happened up until, oops, I got caught. Better try to go make this thing better and make it go away. That's where the failed learning process. It's one thing to make a mistake once, a few times. To make a mistake for several years in a row, you're not really making a mistake anymore. You're just doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And I think, sadly, the perception of this now becomes, and I think part of the reality, is that a lot of these players feel untouchable. This situation, for Brendan Sorensen too, the fact that you went in front of a judge and won the case on the injunction probably makes you feel even that much more untouchable. But I'm making all this money from NIL. Cincinnati is clearly paying for me to be here. I'm going to Texas Tech. They're clearly going to be paying me a ton of money to go there. I can get away with these type of things. I have a special privilege, which is what this screams a whole lot more than I made a stupid mistake. And that's where a lot of the problem comes in. Is if you felt like you had special privilege, which I think is the way that this is painting it in light, I did not feel bad after the most recent comments we listened to from his agent. I felt like that's a guy who thinks he has privilege. That doesn't make you any better. That makes the entire situation worse, which again, anytime somebody gets caught doing something they're not supposed to and immediately seeks, oh, you know, I need to get help for this, right or wrong, it paints the impression that, well, you're sorry because you got caught. Right? Feels like one of those lines one of your parents would have told you when you got caught doing something you weren't supposed to growing up. It's like, are you really sorry you did it, or are you sorry you got caught doing it? Because right now it feels like you're sorry you got caught. It doesn't really feel like you're sorry you did it. And it's kind of the way I feel on Sorsby right now. 216-474-0092. Did Brendan Sorsby's agent help or hurt his quarterback situation, in your opinion? Our good friend Alfonso is in New York. What's going on, Alfonso?
Not much, Jake. How you doing tonight, my man?
We're doing pretty good. How are you? I mean, I haven't heard from you in a little bit. I'm sure you've been celebrating a little bit of a Knicks win.
Yeah. I've definitely been celebrating. I watched the parade today. All good stuff there. Listen, I really don't want Sorsby. I'm really going to come out here and say that because, listen, just I don't want another headache in the building personally. And also, too, I don't want a guy that did something very bad to the game and then expecting to just get off easy. Because personally, I think him going to the supplemental draft and being able to choose what he wants to do, it's kind of just getting off easy when it comes to the gambling stuff. I just think that he's not really going to be disciplined hard as he should be. But that's just my thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that he should be suspended if getting into the NFL for a year because he needs to learn from his actions. And I don't think he's learning from it at all.
And I'm imagining there's probably going to be a suspension on the other side. And Alfonso, I appreciate the call. We're up against it. But I think that there's going to be a suspension on the other side from Sorsby. Again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the NFL is not going to let him walk scot-free and set that precedence that you can make mistakes in college, gamble in college, and then we're just going to be your safe haven. But
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, it's the struggle on whether or not the Browns can go for it. It's dumb mistakes made. It's conscious dumb mistakes made by Brendan Sorsby in my eyes. I understand the push away from him, but again, at some point, the value does look really good. Like, I do toe the line on this. If you want me to be completely pro-Sorsby, you're not going to get it. If you want me to be completely anti-Brendan Sorsby, you're not going to get it. This is a line where, you know, you have to kind of walk it and, I think, have a nuanced opinion about it. You can't be completely on one side or the other. 216-474-0092. Did Sorsby's agent help or hurt his situation? Plus, my oh my, was there a story today? We'll break it down, give the opinion, all coming up in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Get a Grip coming your way here at 9 o'clock as well. Hey, Krakus, Sports Illustrated, join us at 9:20. Talk a little bit of guards. But we're talking on Brendan Sorsby. We have to get away from sports altogether because I don't even know how to wrap my mind around the situation I heard this morning. I was honestly dumbfounded at everything that happened starting at 6 o'clock this morning. Because, one, can I just give a big radio props up? Not only was it just, I mean, top-tier radio being done by Ken and Anthony this morning, Ken's intro to it was just fantastic. Like, it was top of the line just listening to Ken go from, here is their open of their show that included calls from the Guardians game last night, and he goes, Guardians lost. We're going to get to that coming in a few minutes. But John, first, and immediately rolls in their producer, John Colavita. And basically, long story short, the situation that took them about 40 minutes to get through today with multiple, both the 6 and the 8 o'clock segments. John is taking a trip down to Florida. Invited his girlfriend, could not go. So he is going on his own. What is he doing in Florida? Well, he's meeting up with a friend that he particularly met on Hinge. Prior to starting to date his girlfriend, who he has stayed in contact with, who he has stayed talking to, and he is staying with this girl in their home, along with her significant other, whether it be her boyfriend, I don't know. I think it's her boyfriend. I don't think yes. They're, yeah. A And doing this just, I mean, that even being the short story without everything else that came attached to this situation, going to stay with them. And then John's talking about, one, the man got a haircut to go down there to see a girl that he was initially talking to on Hinge. He talked about multiple times on air today how bad of a kisser she was. So he clearly talked to her for enough time to start locking lips. Okay. And listen, that might have been, 5 minutes in a meeting or I don't know. But figured that out at the very least. And now we got the haircut to go with it. Usually, Michael, I think you said earlier when we were talking off the air, haircuts for you, when you want to make an impression, you would go and get a haircut.
Yes. I tend to get my haircut every month, sometimes 6 weeks if I'm, running short on some time. But when I'm not out of the pattern, it's if I'm trying to make an impression, if I have a job to do, if I'm doing whatever, holidays, I get my haircut. I want to look nice.
Yeah, of course. Which, by the way, is what started all of this. Because all Ken did was comment on John's hair and then pointed out, he said, why'd you get the haircut? John offered up this information. If John did not offer this information, they did not take this to the air, I wouldn't even be talking about this right now. I'd be like, hey, listen, you do you, man, all right? Your life is your life. We just brought this to the air and it immediately became a thing. But so he gets the haircut on top of it and is talking about going to, I believe the way he described it was a dancing club in Miami. And these people don't even live in Miami. They're not far from it, but they don't live in Miami. So they're making a trip to go specifically to Miami for John's weekend trip on top of this. I need to know if you were John's girlfriend in this situation, who will be babysitting, who, by the way, again, if you missed this, after the show, 8 o'clock this morning, Odyssey Rewind feature, go back, take a listen. She did call into the station today. I need to know if you'd be okay with it. Because personally, I brought this up to my girlfriend. I'm hearing this happen this morning, and I'm like, whoa. And I am on the phone with my girlfriend. I bring it up. I go, here's the situation. Here's the lowdown. Would you be okay with this? Because I think I know what your answer is going to be. I know what my answer would be. But would you be all right with that? And I got the exact response of, if you were going to do that, you might as well re-download Hinge because you're about to be single. Which in my eyes, by the way, correct decision. And I'm not saying, hopefully for John, his relationship works out. Hoping the best for him. There's just no way on planet Earth I wouldn't be in any way comfortable with this happening. Michael, you're obviously single. Anybody who's listening, whether you are a 25-year-old woman or have a daughter, maybe a sister, 25-year-old woman, Michael is available. But Michael, even putting yourselves in the shoes, could you even imagine yourself being comfortable with this situation?
Well, I appreciate the plug first, Jake.
Listen, I'm always looking out for you. Looking out for you, okay? Yeah. I didn't get it wrong, right? We are still single?
Yes.
All right, so you're on the market. I don't feel bad about it.
But I would say, I can't really come at this necessarily from the girlfriend perspective, but I would say, if I was in a relationship, and I could just tell you this, I would not want my girlfriend doing this.
No.
With a guy that she met on Hinge. I don't care that they're in a relationship down there. It doesn't matter. It's dangerous.
Things can happen with three people. Things can happen with two people and one person in attendance. There's a lot that can be happening around there. Okay. It doesn't absolve you of, not to mention he's going to Miami.
Well, when you're talking about two people where feelings were clearly involved at some point, that you're asking for a mistake to be made. You're tempting fate a lot here. I certainly wouldn't want it. I have some close friends back in Michigan that are girls.
Yeah, same. I do. Two of my closest friends are girls.
They're not as close ever since I moved down here, but I went to high school with them, whatever. We went to college together, all this other stuff. I would feel like if I had a girlfriend, I was going back to Michigan to visit them, I would hope they felt uncomfortable. That would be weird. Why would I do that without them coming along with me at the very least? Okay, if we're hanging out as a big friends thing, that's one thing. But going down there by yourself, it's a slippery slope, my friend.
Yeah, it's really dangerous. And like I said, in this situation, and I can understand this from John's perspective. I mean, the meeting on Hinge thing, different situation. But two of my closest friends are girls. One of them, you wouldn't have to worry about, wouldn't be interested if you're catching my drift. The entire population, half the population of men would not be interested. So my girlfriend wouldn't have to worry about that. The other one has been in a long committed relationship ever since I met her when we were in our junior year of high school. Has been dating the same one. I'm friends with her boyfriend. There's just no worry there. There's never a worry there.
It's a mutual friend thing. Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, actually, I was friends with her boyfriend technically first, but we were more like acquaintances. And now I'm friends with both of them. But whatever. But I mean, even when I started dating my girlfriend, I was like, hey, these are two of my friends. Like, they're not going anywhere. So if you're not comfortable with it, like, probably not going to work. Girlfriend was okay with it. She's met these friends. She's now considered friends of these friends. Like, we're in a good spot. But that's not this situation. Like, that's where it starts to get really dangerous, is that John's girlfriend has met this girl one time. Okay, and I think John said they were driving from Iowa back, and they had lived in Wisconsin at the time, and they stayed with them for a couple of days. Good starting point still would not leave me in a situation where, if, like, again, I try to put myself in the shoes of John's girlfriend in this situation. If I'm sitting there and I'm like, I've met this person one time, even if I got a good vibe from this person, you traveling halfway across the country to go spend time with them, go out to clubs with them, and just them and their significant other, and I know you've dated before, you've in some capacity, yeah, no chance. Like, it's just not happening. Yeah, I can't be comfortable with it. Like, I would be, I am not like an overly jealous type of person. I'm not an overly worried type of person. Again, me and my girlfriend have been dating for about 3 years. I still wouldn't be comfortable with it. As far as I know, John and his girlfriend have been dating for a significantly less time than that.
Yeah. And that's what I was even going to ask you. Like, if your girlfriend said she was flying up to Southern California next week to meet with a friend that she met on whatever dating app it was, like, I would hope you're not comfortable with that.
No, I probably would. If she was like, oh, it's one of my friends from high school that I used to know, and we're just going down there. Even if you were like, oh, we're a part of like a group that's intermixed with guys, I'd be like, I don't know. Plus, about that.
She knows that you're trapped here. Like, you have a full-time job. Like, yes. You can't just up and leave.
Yes. And I'm like, again, to John's credit, he did invite his girlfriend on the trip. Right. So
he wasn't trying to hide it.
No, he invited her. She had prior obligations, could not go. But at that point, like, again, I'm not even saying, because obviously it would be a very controlling move to be like, no, you can't go. That's not going to fly over well with just about any relationship. But to say you wouldn't be significantly uncomfortable and not okay with the situation, I think also a completely fair place to be. Like, this is the part where I'm trying to get into the inner workings of John's mind. I just think right off the rip, being friends with the person that you met on a dating app, I mean, as far as I know, John and his girlfriend have been dating, I believe, over a year. I mean, he's been here for several months, and she doesn't live here as far as I know.
Long distance right away.
Yes. Yeah. So they've been dating for over a year as far as I know. But, like, yeah, this is somebody who you've kept in contact with then after meeting on a dating app for well over a year. Like, that just, like, that wouldn't fly to me at the beginning of a relationship, knowing and finding that out. Like, I'd be like, yeah, no, that seems weird to me. Like, that screams situationship. That screams something still happening on the side. Even if it's not, that's what it screams. Like, it's a bad look.
Yeah, like, I want to be careful here because, like, I'm not in a position to ever tell people, like, how to feel and whether it's how he feels or how his girlfriend feels. Like, if they're comfortable with it, that's their decision to be comfortable with it. I just find it hilarious how many perspectives we've gotten on this today. Ken and Anthony getting their wives involved in this.
Yes.
We've had multiple wives and girlfriends in this discussion as part of this. And almost everybody disagrees with the two of them about the comfort level here. Like, yeah. There's no way that they would allow this. And that's where I just find it a bit odd. It's weird. It's such a weird situation.
I mean, and listen, again, props to them because being that much, having that much faith, that much trust
that early on.
I mean, tip of the cap. Like, I'm pretty sure that if Ken was in that situation, I think he said this morning, married for 17 years with Liz and have been dating longer than that. I don't even think Ken might be comfortable in that situation today, even if he knew somebody for the last 20 years, being like, oh yeah, go have fun. Go meet up with, the person X and their husband and go have a fun time in Miami. Like, no, that can't happen. Like, again, in props to them for having that much faith and trust. I don't know that I would ever reach that point in my life. I don't know that I could ever get to that level of trust. Like, I mean, I would have to have known this person, know them well, be friends with this person to even get to the level of like okay with it. And even then, like, still might be skeptical, still might be weirded out a little bit by it overall.
Yeah. And like, I understand that obviously there's the holiday tomorrow, so full-time staff is out. So like, that's why he's making this trip. But like, especially when you're doing it on short notice and your girlfriend can't go, like, it feels like one of those things I wouldn't be comfortable doing it, especially if you want her to come, like, doing it without her. So like, push it back. Yeah, find some other time to head down there. Like, Miami is always warm. Like it's always. not like the weather is going anywhere. Like you can make it down there some other point when she's available to come with you.
Yeah, you're not traveling up to Wisconsin, okay? It's not like we got to get this in the summer. This isn't happening, okay? Like this might be the only weekend we have. Miami's going to be nice for a majority. Even if you go to Miami in the dead of winter, it's probably still about to be 60 degrees in Miami. You're going to be okay. It just seems like, again, one of those on a whim also feels really weird, like to just do it on short notice. And I mean, listen, be as spontaneous as you want. I hope John has fun. I believe he's already there, if I'm not mistaken. I think he said he left at 4 o'clock today.
The haircut is the most damning piece of evidence here. Like,
this is crazy because I've heard this take
so
today.
It's so strange to me.
And it was like the most normal part of it whatsoever. And John got a new haircut, by the way.
Yeah.
This is not typical John haircut, as far as I know. John went into the barber, into the salon, wherever he went, and said, let me get a fade. And that looked like different hair from John today. It's not great. It's not a great look.
Not a good look.
It's not a good look. Listen, John could have the best of intentions. There are about four different items, if not more, in this entire situation that I just look at and I go, not a good look. Does not seem like it should line up the right way. It's fun from today. It's interesting. 216-474-0092. If you were John's girlfriend, would you be okay with this situation? I want your opinions. I want you guys to give me your thoughts because I need to know. I need to find somebody who's interested and okay with that situation playing out. Even if you're not, I want to hear your thoughts. Again, 216-474-0092. Get a grip when we come back here in 5 minutes as well on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.